Hey, if you don't know me, my name, like Michael said, is David Ramos. And let me tell you a few things about me. I am from the island of Puerto Rico. And if you don't know anything about people from Puerto Rico, I'm going to tell you a few things, two things. Number one, we talk a lot. But I promise you, you'll be out of here before the football game tonight. How about that? That sounds good. Before the Super Bowl. The second one is that we are spirited. You know what I mean? So it might get a little bit rowdy, a little bit loud. It's all good. Don't worry about that. So I'm glad you're here this morning. Let's pray, shall we? Spirit of the living God, you speak to us. Father God, the psalmist said in Psalm 139, "Search me, O Lord." Will you do that today? Will you speak to us in our hearts, in our minds, in our souls, Spirit God? Will you be with us? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. So I brought my family with me today. It's the second time. Well, my wife, it's the fifth time that she gets to listen to this message. So please be kind to her today. But I got a little picture of my family there. I want you to kind of see them because I got my dog in there. I wasn't able to bring it this morning. Michael said no. So I got my dog. My dog name is Canelo. My oldest daughter right there with the black shirt, her name is Janelle. She's 20 years old. My daughter Jaylene, she is 13 years old. And my wife Emily, that we've been married for 21 years. Thanks to the mercy of the Almighty God, she married me. She's been married to me for the last 21 years, baby. I love you with all my heart. It's been the best ride of my life. So, man, right around there, I just earned some points. That's how you do it, baby. That's how you do it. Hey, I consider myself a child of the 90s, even though I wasn't born in the 90s. I love the 90s. I love the music of the 90s. I like the clothing in the 90s, you know, crisscross will make you jump type of thing, even though I'm not going to wear my pants backwards like they used to do. I'm still not into the baggy clothing, but I used to wear that. But the one thing that I loved the most about the 90s was the sitcoms. Okay, just so you know. And my favorite sitcom of all time, just so you know, you might know my age by that, but it is Seinfeld. 100% correct, Seinfeld, okay? And if you don't know anything about Seinfeld, let me just tell you real quick. Seinfeld is the life of these four friends, right? The one guy with the big hair up there is Kramer, and the lady is Elaine, Jerry with the blue shirt, and George Costanza. George is the funny friend that you have in your group of friends, right? And in the show, in the sitcom Seinfeld, there's this one episode that I love. It's called The Red Dot. And if you've never seen it, let me tell you what it is. George Costanza was fired from a job prior, and then Elaine, as a good friend, goes out and gets him a job at her firm. And because of that, George is elated, is so thankful, and he goes out to buy Elaine a gift. So Jerry and George goes out, they go to the store, and George finds this luxury cashmere sweater. On sale, baby. And he goes, oh yeah, it's 85% off, right? And then Jerry's like, wait, cashmere, 85% off? That's unbelievable, unheard of. He stops the lady that works there and asks the lady, hey, what's wrong with this sweater? And the lady said, there's nothing wrong with the sweater. It just had a red dot. So it has this red dot as a problem, as a stain in it. And then George, being George, goes up to Jerry and says, it's small. Nobody will notice it, right? And shows it to Jerry and said, pretend you didn't see it before. Will you see the red dot again? And of course, Jerry says, of course. What I really see is a really cheap man trying to get away with a present that is damaged. And George goes with it and goes to Elaine and presents his beautiful cashmere sweater. And Elaine is so thrilled until Kramer notices the red dot and goes, hey, what is that red dot? And she sees the red dot. And that red dot from that point on it becomes an issue. It keeps on showing up at the worst times. It keeps exposing that George, the same things that George wants to hide, and exposes how cheap he is. And he passes it from one person to another, and everybody notices the red dot. So the red dot on a sweater is super funny, though. And that episode is hilarious. But a dot on your soul? It's heavy. Because many of us know what it is to carry an inner dot. Something maybe unresolved. Something maybe unclean. Something maybe that you just did last night. Something that you've been hiding, that you've been trying to cover. And we say in front of this, we say things like, you know, it's not that bad. Some others say, well, that was a long time ago. Others says, you know, I think I'm doing better now. Some other people say, shh, nobody needs to know. Some others might think, well, you know, at least I'm not like them. And then what we do, instead of dealing with this little dot, we just stay busy. We perform, we promise, we compare, we polish our outside. But you know what I realize, or what I've seen that happens all the time? That life eventually exposes what we tried to hide. You know, sometimes it comes out of a moment of anger. Sometimes it might be just anxiety. Sometimes it's a secret habit that somebody just kind of peeked at it. Sometimes it's that relationship that just keeps breaking. And at that moment, we realize this is deeper than just embarrassment that I carry with me. And if you're honest, you will probably think like me, it's guilt that I carry. It's that inner knowledge that something is really wrong. And we can't just scrub it with your willpower. I mean, you tried it and it hasn't happened. And then the reality is that we don't need just to cover the stain. I mean, we have covered it, but it comes up. We need to be cleansed from this. We don't need improvement anymore. We need forgiveness that actually reaches deep in my heart. And that's exactly why Hebrews chapter 9 matters. Because Hebrews 9 doesn't teach us how to hide what's wrong, but it shows us how God deals with wrong so we can be clean and we can be draw near to Him. And here's the good news this morning. God does not expose us and our dots to crush us. He exposes us to heal us. Let me say it again. God does not expose our dots to crush us. He exposes them to heal us. So as we go through Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15 to 28 this morning, here's the question that I would like to be in front of us. What do we do when the stain is real and you just can't remove it? And if you're taking notes, I'm I'm a good Baptist preacher. I got 3 points and a conclusion. So that'll be easy for you. But if you don't take notes, you can take off your phone. You can take pictures. I would love for you to take this home, go back home and study it by yourself with more time. And here's the first thing that I think we should do when the stain is real and you can't remove it. Is that we need to admit the stain. We need to admit it. And Hebrews brings us to the language of covenants and worship and sacrifice. And it becomes sometimes complicated when we read it. But it brings this passage of scripture. It brings us to an impossible verse to soften. And I would love for you to turn with me to verse 22. And look at what the word of the Lord says. Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And here's what this verse is telling us. It's telling us that forgiveness ain't cheap. Forgiveness, my brothers and sisters, is not cheap. It's very, very costly. And we often imagine the Old Testament when we see these pictures and when we hear about the Old Testament and the moments of worship in the Old Testament and this as quiet moments and clean moments like we're seeing it through a museum. But the reality is that the moments of worship, of sacrificial worship to the Lord and the system were moments that were visual, that were weighty, that were unforgettable. I mean, they were messy. You were seeing the blood everywhere. You will see it on the ground, on the altar of the Lord, on the hands of the priest, in his face, in his beard, and in everybody that was there. I mean, it was a monumental worship that you cannot forget. And the question comes up, it says, so why will God allow worship to look like that? Messy and bloody. And it's because God wanted us to feel what we are always tempted to minimize. That sin is not small. Evil is not harmless. And guilt is not imaginary. You know, two realities sit underneath this truth. Is that we treat sin as manageable when God calls it deadly. And then what we try to do is that we rename our sins to make ourselves feel comfortable. And we say things like, that's just my personality, brother. Some other people say, that's how I cope. Then some other people say it that I heard it 1,000 times. Everybody does it. Why are you ganging up on me? And then the typical, maybe the Christianese way to say it. You know, at least I'm not as bad as. But I want you to know something, family, that Scripture does not call sin a scratch. It calls it rebellion. It calls a rebellion. Look at how Isaiah chapter 1 verse 2 says it. It says, listen, O heavens. Pay attention, earth. This is what the Lord says. The children I raised and care for have rebelled against me. This is why sin is so big. And I think and I believe that the Lord is calling us and his church to put sin where it needs to be, to see the gravity of it, to see how it splatters and damages my life and those that are around me, and to see that there's no way out of it but the blood of Jesus. Amen. Can I get an amen? Thank you, brother. Okay, you can say amen. I'm okay. I'm Spanish. I'll take that. So sin is personal. It is against a holy God. who made us and who love us. You know, the other truth is this. Now, we want a flexible God. But our God is holy. You see, a lot of people ask me, dude, why can't God just overlook it? Because holiness is not moodiness. Because holiness is perfection. Look at how Revelation chapter 4, verse 8 speaks about our God. It says, holy, holy, holy. You probably know this verse. It's the God Almighty, the one who is, the one who was, and is to come. Our God is holy. Listen to me, please. Our God is holy. God will never call darkness fine. He will never pretend that evil is harmless. And hear me carefully, family. If conviction is happening in your heart right now, that's the mercy of God. That's not rejection. That's God's love. Say if you're this morning you came in carrying some secret guilt. You're not beyond grace. You are exactly the kind of person that Jesus saves. So yes, admit your stain. Because only confessed sin can be healed sin. Only confessed sin can be healed sin. Number two, what do we do when the stain is real and you can't remove it? I think that what we need to do is to run to Jesus' blood. Look at what Hebrews 9:15 says. Therefore, He is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. So Jesus stands between God and us, not as a neutral referee, but as the Savior who makes peace by paying the cost himself. You see, the passage explains it plainly that for this new covenant, death was required. But here's the heart of the gospel in this passage. That God didn't just send another remedial for our sins. He didn't send us another bull or another goat. He didn't send us another thing that would just cover our sin. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, the most precious thing he had, and he had to shed his blood so that he can remove our sins from us, so that the forgiveness of sin can actually happen. It's not covered anymore. It is from the inside out. He offered Jesus himself once, fully, and forever.
That's a good amen moment, bro.
You see, under the old system, everybody was like doing the sacrifices, right? All these priests were doing the sacrifices. And it was a constant reminder that the people and even the priests that were doing it were listening to. It said, not finished yet, not finished yet, not finished yet. But where Jesus died on the cross, that was absolutely finished. It was completed victory over sin and the guilt that the enemy wants to put in me. But you know what? Many people are exhausted spiritually because they live their life believing that they owe God installments. you know, if I do good, maybe he'll accept me. They live their life believing that if I punish myself long enough for that mistake that I made, that it caused all this pain. Now, if I put that pain on me by doing this other stuff, maybe I'll feel clean. And some of us think and think to themselves and say, if I prove I'm serious, maybe God will forgive me. And maybe he'll forgive me. I remember years ago when I was an alcoholic that I sat at this bar with a friend of mine named Fernando. Fernando and I went to college together, and we were out of college by this time, and we were at that day, and my life had become a wreck. My mom didn't want me in Christmas over because I will make a scene and things will get completely out of hand. I had to park my car 10 blocks away so it won't be repoed. So I get paid on Friday, and I was broke by Sunday evening. And I remember inside of all that going to my friend and say, I can't continue to live my life this way. I need to go back to church. I need to ask God to do something in my life. And what he answered to me was so, what he answered me was so weird for me at that moment. He said, if I ever go back, I'll have to do a lot of payback for everything that I've done. And you know what? When I thought about it, it kind of exposed my heart too. Because I believe grace in theory, but in practice, I still thought I had to pay God back. But Hebrews 9 says, no, you don't have to do that. The cleansing we need is not in what I promise God. It is on the work of Jesus Christ on the cross for my sins. And church, this does not make me lazy. This does not make us lazy. It makes me grateful. It makes me a worshiper. And it makes me free to live in him. So the foundation of my forgiveness, it's not my consistency anymore. It is the completed work of Jesus on that cross. Whew, praise the Lord. I don't have to be good anymore because he is for me. Number three, what do you do when the stain is real and you can't remove it? You see, I told you we're going to leave early today. You're lucky today, because it's a Super Bowl, you know? Number three, what do? We do this. We live ready to see him. That's what we do. Read with me Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24 to 28. And Kyle, if you're around, come on forward. Here's what the word of the Lord says. For Christ has entered, not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself. Now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Can you let that sink in for a second? You see, on our behalf, and maybe you don't have a long list, but the word of God said that Jesus went in front of God with his blood and his mutilated body for a guy like me. For a guy that was raised in a Christian home, went to a Christian school, knew all about him. But when I got to a certain age, I said, I don't want you anymore, Jesus. I want to know what's out there. and went out there, ended up in the trap of addiction. I was an alcoholic. And to know that Jesus Christ went in front of God to tell him, hey, David, no more, if he put his faith in me, no longer can be seen as an addict. Even though his family and his friends see him that way, he's no longer that because I have paid for the penalty that was before or was in him for the way that he had walked away from you, God. He's in me. And now we can approach God and we don't do it alone. You see, alone in my own merits, if I show up in front of God, I'm expecting a big laugh. I have nothing to give him. I have nothing to offer him. But now I stand in front of him. But behind Jesus, because Jesus stands in that place with a perfect record, with a powerful resume, and a finished work. That is Jesus. And he stands there for you and for me with the perfect righteousness and the precious blood and his finished work. And you know what? That should produce something in us. It should produce the freedom to be honest. Because you are secure in Christ, you can stop pretending. Please stop pretending. You can go to God and say, yes, I've seen. Yes, I am weak. Yes, I need grace. But yes, I have Jesus. Because the cross creates a culture of honesty. No masks, no more. No facades anymore. No fake perfection. Just real people with real grace. Should also produce in me a readiness for what is certain. Look at what verse 27 says. And just as it is appointed for a man to die once, and after that comes judgment. And this verse just gives us two realities. Number one, it does this life is temporary. And number two, is that we all gonna stand before God. You see, in October of 2012, my dad had been battling liver cancer. And in October of 2012, he finally was able to do what most people can't do, and it's to have a liver transplant surgery. And I remember driving 5 hours to take my dad to the hospital, and we got there, and the surgery started at 1 p.m., and at 4 p.m., my dad was out of surgery, and I was in that room with him in there, hooked up to all the things and all over his body and a brand new liver in there. And then my brain started flooding me with all kinds of memories. Memories of the time that my father played with me when I was a child. Memories of how my father used to take us to Disney World. Memories of how my father made Christmas so special. And memories of his voice telling me that he loved me. And then I thought to myself, life is so short. I've only been able to enjoy my dad for a short amount of years. And I don't know if my dad will be able to get up from this bed. And that moment, it sobered me deeply. And maybe if you were there, it would sober you too. But it is not to terrify us, but it is to wake up our drifting hearts. No panic, but preparation. Not denial, but surrender. No fear, just hope. Because Jesus will come again. Not to deal with sin this time, though. You're not going to see him being beat up by people and putting crown of thorns on him and putting nails in his hands. Uh-uh. He's coming back to bring full salvation for those that are waiting for him. Because the best part of our future, it's not only that the suffering will end, but it is that we'll finally be in the hands of our loving Father, of our Savior. So today, some of you might need to stop hiding and come to the light. Today, some of us need to stop striving for perfection and start trusting the finished work of Christ. Today, some of us need to stop delaying repentance and come to Jesus. You don't have to clean yourself. He will do that for you. You don't have to wait until you have it all together. He's going to make it, put it all together. He will do the work. And now he's the one that will take you in front of the Father, in front of the throne of God to represent yourself. And I tell you, I promise you that he is enough to do this. If you come today, if you repent today, he will take you and do things that you will never imagine that he will be able to do. Bow your heads, close your eyes with me. Jesus, we do carry our doubts with us. We are those that try to clean it the best we can. We can't. But your sacrifice on the cross and your presence before God allows me to be free and honest and admit how much I need you, Lord. And we do. We need you more than we think. We need you more than we say. And we need you more than we imagine. We need you, Lord God. So today, Father God, forgive us. For pretending. For trying to wash our own doubts. And for having the wrong mindset in front of you and not trusting your sacrifice, Jesus. Please forgive us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen, amen. And as we do every month, I had the great opportunity this morning to share communion with you this morning. So will you stand with me today, please? Communion is not a reward for people who are perfect on a weekly basis. And I want to do this morning, all of us together. We're going to wait for one another. We're going to take the elements, all of us, at the same time. We're going to open them all at the same time. Because communion is a meal for people who know that the stain is real and who now trust their Savior to do the cleansing of their bodies. You see, at this table, we do not celebrate performance. We remember His sacrifice. But I want to be clear with you. This table is reserved for those that have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. If you have not done so yet, I'm pleading with you, please don't take it. Talk to us to help you take that next step of faith in your life. At the end, I'm going to be out here. And I want to pray with you and for you, so please don't do that today. But if you have placed your trust in Jesus Christ, whether you're a visitor or you're part of this church, will you share this table with me and be partakers in gratitude, humility, and joy before the Lord? And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you 1 minute so that you can pray to the Lord this morning. And you can ask the Lord to forgive you from your sins. And as you pray, the worship team is going to be singing a song over you. But go ahead and make that prayer right now. Bow your heads and pray to the Lord.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small, child of weakness, watch and pray, find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as Jesus paid. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white.
Lord, thank you for your sacrifice on the cross. Today, we remember your sacrifice, and we ask that you will forgive us of our sins based not on any merit that we have, but based on your sacrifice and your blood being shed on that cross on Calvary. We believe that you, Jesus, are the Son of God that came as a man, died on a cross, was buried, and on the third day you rose again by the power of the Spirit of God. We believe it, and that makes us your sons and daughters. Cleanse us, Lord, with your blood. In Jesus' name. Amen. For I have received from the Lord what I have also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Eat and be grateful this morning. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's drink together, church. Thank you, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.